It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.rir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
I had a client a couple of years ago, a high school student, who was brought here by her parents before kindergarten. So she doesn't know anything about Mexico at all. She has no memory of it. She went to Charlottesville City Schools her entire scholastic career, honor student, band, orchestra, honor roll, part-time job. She also fell in love with the wrong boy, and she got pregnant. And then he began to abuse her. So she came to me. In the course of our experiences together, we got the protective order. We got him charged and convicted of the crimes that he had perpetrated against her. And then I was able to call Doug Ford, who is on faculty at UVA Law and also works at Legal Aid Justice Center. And we were able to start work on her U visa, which is a program under which victims of domestic violence who are not married to their abusers can get protection in this country when they cooperate with law enforcement.
On October 23rd, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and the Legal Aid Justice Center presented an event on immigration reform at the Hippodrome Theater, No Dream Deferred, describing the plight of 11 million undocumented men, women, and children living, and in many cases working, in the U.S. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn about this year's Medicare annual open enrollment and how to avoid identity theft and scammers. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 221, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.rir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. This year, Medicare's annual open enrollment season runs from October 15 until December 7. The National Council on Aging, or NCOA, encourages all people with Medicare to review their plan options and make an informed decision about their 2014 coverage. This year's open enrollment coincides with two other events that may be confusing to people with Medicare: the federal government shutdown during the first half of October, and the October 1st opening of the health insurance marketplace. Now that the government shutdown is over, the Medicare.gov website has been updated with the latest plan information. Also, October 1 was the first day people could enroll in the new health insurance marketplace created by the Affordable Care Act. Some people with Medicare are unsure whether the marketplace applies to them. This year is very unique, so it is more important than ever for people with Medicare to understand and review their options, said Leslie Freed, director of NCOA's National Center for Benefits Outreach and Enrollment. First, people with Medicare should know that the health insurance marketplace is not for them, and they do not need to enroll in a marketplace plan. Second, people with Medicare should start to shop and compare Medicare drug plans now, but not purchase one until all drug plan information is updated. Medicare open enrollment is the time of year when everyone with Medicare can join or change their health and prescription drug plans for the coming year. Because there are a number of plans to choose from, and cost and coverage vary from plan to plan, it's critical for people to review their current coverage and shop around for the plan that best fits their health needs and budget. NCOA offers several tips and resources to help people with Medicare navigate Medicare Open Enrollment 2013, including what they need to know about the health insurance marketplace, how to select a plan, and ways to avoid scams. NCOA also has tips to prevent identity theft and avoid scammers. If someone calls claiming to be a government employee and needing to know your personal information, such as asking for you to verify your Social Security number or requesting credit card information, stop. No government worker will call asking you for this information. Do not give this information to an unknown person, especially over the phone. Other tips and resources can be found at ncoa.org/Medicare 2013. With this year's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. On October 23rd, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and the Legal Aid Justice Center presented an event on immigration reform at the Hippodrome Theater. Panelists included Delegate Jennifer McClellan, DREAM activist Erica Andiola, LAJC attorney Mary Bauer, CVLAS attorney Palma Pastelnik, and LAJC organizer Edgar Aranda. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there, and here is the second part of a two-part presentation.
What is Legal Aid's role in working with immigrants?
Well, the Legal Aid Justice Center has a very vibrant project that serves immigrants throughout the state. And we also serve migrant farm workers throughout the state. And we have an office in Falls Church with almost 10 staff people representing immigrants in a wide variety of cases. You heard a little bit about our DACA cases in which we've represented folks who are applying for DACA. But another thing that we address, I think, is one of the core issues that affect undocumented immigrants in particular, and that is their vulnerability in the workplace. We know there are lots of employers who choose to employ undocumented immigrants because they're vulnerable, because they think they can exploit them and not pay them and, you know, treat them with impunity. And the Legal Aid Justice Center, you know, actively fights that in lots and lots of ways. And we take cases and we represent people, and we're a force for justice in saying, you know, that's not right, that's not fair, and that's not legal. And so we'll continue to do that as we also continue to fight for immigration reform.
We have our Virginia Farm Workers program that represents documented migrant workers, and they also often fall victim to predatory employers, and there are wage and other discriminatory practices and unjust practices that we are able to combat under the restrictions of LSC funding. In addition, there's a tremendous amount of work that we do in the domestic violence arena. And one of the ways that, especially prior to the DACA program, that our programs worked beautifully together is that, for example, I had a client a couple of years ago, a high school student who was brought here by her parents before kindergarten. So she doesn't know anything about Mexico at all. She has no memory of it. She went to Charlottesville City Schools her entire scholastic career, honor student, band, orchestra, honor roll, part-time job. She also fell in love with the wrong boy, and she got pregnant, and then he began to abuse her. So she came to me. In the course of our experiences together, we got the protective order, we got him charged and convicted of the crimes that he had perpetrated against her, and then I was able to call Doug Ford, who is on faculty at UVA Law and also works at Legal Aid Justice Center, and we were able to start work on her U visa, which is a program under which victims of domestic violence who are not married to their abusers can get protection in this country when they cooperate with law enforcement. Unfortunately, for reasons that we don't quite understand, the police department and the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office were reluctant to sign her U visa papers, but we were able to get the judge to sign them. And a judge under the U visa regulations is a law enforcement officer. And she is now documented. Her mother and father are documented. Her older sister is documented. Of course, her siblings that were born subsequent were born here. They were already American citizens. She is a student at PVCC. She's a nursing student. She wants to give back to the community. And again, she continues to be on a roll while working, while mothering, and contributing to our community. So that's the kind of person that we want as a citizen here. And there's no reason in the world to keep the barriers that there are for people who are willing to contribute like that. I mean, my grandparents came here through Ellis Island. So to me, the idea of putting up barriers for immigrants is just stupid.
Now, Mayor, can you tell us more about what's going on with immigration reform on the federal level?
Sure. The United States Senate has actually passed an immigration bill this year, SB 744. It's not the bill that I would have written, that's for sure, but it is a fairly comprehensive review, and it gives most of the 11 million folks who are here undocumented a path, a real long path, but a path to citizenship. The real challenge, I think, that we all know about, having recently watched the government shutdown, is the United States House of Representatives, and that is just an incredible challenge in terms of what they will do and the next steps. Some might think that it is insurmountable, but I guess I would say we have to pass immigration reform. I mean, we may not pass it in 2 months, as many of us had hoped, but we have to pass it. There is no alternative. It is a moral imperative. And just as, you know, 60 and 70 years ago, African Americans fighting for their civil rights in the South knew that it was a long haul and knew there was no choice but to move forward, there is no choice but for us as a nation to pass immigration reform, and I believe we will do it.
And I'll remind everybody that most movements in this country began with courageous young people just like Erica and those you saw in the film. And the film talked about the DREAM Act, which would have allowed young people like you, Erica, to adjust your status if it had become law. Would the DREAM Act be enough, or do you need more?
I think DACA is a perfect example how it's not enough. I mean, DACA itself is not enough for many reasons. I mean, I'm a dreamer from Arizona who cannot get a driver's license either, right? We're not allowed to as DACA people. So having the DREAM Act as a legislation, having a pathway to citizenship, just the fact that, you know, I got a job and I came home and my mom was almost deported. To me, that's a perfect example of what can happen to any dreamer in this country. I don't know about anyone else, but to me, I feel like family, it's a very, very strong value that as Americans we have. And, you know, having your parents be vulnerable to deportation is not healthy. I mean, it's just not healthy. And for me, that's one of the reasons why I don't think it's enough to have the DREAM Act. In 2010, the reason why we decided to start pushing for the DREAM Act as a standalone bill was because it was the only, you know, because of the politics that were happening at that time, what were happening, we really thought that there was nothing else that we could get at that point. And so our thinking was, let's get the DREAM Act right now, and we're going to, of course, as dreamers, we're going to keep pushing for our parents. And that's exactly what we're doing right now with Deferred Action. We have our work permit, but you know what? We're still pushing for our parents to have the same rights as we have. And yeah, we're going to keep doing that.
You've been listening to an event on immigration reform on October 23rd at the Hippodrome Theater, No Dream Deferred, describing the plight of 11 million undocumented men, women, and children living, and in many cases working, in the U.S. We'll be back in a moment. We continue now with panelist Delegate Jennifer McClellan, DREAM activist Erica Andiola, LAJC attorney Mary Bauer, CVLAS attorney Palma Pastilnik, and LAJC organizer Edgar Aranda at an event on immigration reform recorded on October 23rd.
While we're sitting here, all across our country, people are still being deported. This administration is deporting 400,000 people a year, and there are more than 5,000 U.S. citizen children in foster care because their parents are in detention or they've been deported. So the DREAM Act, I hope we pass it, but it's just so far from being enough. And, I mean, I'm so glad that we have, you know, activists like like Erica, who are pushing for so much more.
So Mary, what would fair immigration reform look like?
I think it means many things to many people, but it has to be an immigration reform that really honors our core values, that honors our respect for civil rights. It is not acceptable to have 11 million people living among us as part of our communities, many for decades, who have no ability to legalize their status. People in the workforce, people in our communities, people who are in every moral sense a member of our community. So it has to be an immigration reform that doesn't leave out large swaths of people as you know, some proposals have done. And frankly, as the DREAM Act alone would do, we need so much more than that. It has to honor our commitment to family values, as people throw around that term, to keeping families together. And then as we continue to deport people, and it has to look at, frankly, at the people who've already been deported, because so many people have been deported, not because they're a narco trafficker, but because they ran a red light because they didn't notice it, and that was the destruction of their family. So it has to take into those sort of core American values, and it also has to think about the future. That is, what is the system? Do we want to be fighting about this in 2 years, or can we really think about what a sensible system is moving forward?
Edgar, how long do you think it will take? Will we be struggling with this issue 5 years from now?
Well, the thing is, if we fight now for immigration reform and we pass immigration reform, there are certain requirements that is leaving a lot of people out. So we will need to keep fighting. So like the civil rights movement, we need to keep moving the immigration issue and create this movement of immigrants. So I don't think we are going to be fighting the same fight in 5 years, but it's going to be a strong group of people or movement who will be responding to these changes.
Erica, I found your story so inspiring and your action so incredible. I'm wondering what you see out there right now going on among the Dreamer movement that excites you. What are the most exciting things that you're seeing in the movement right now?
To me, one of the most exciting things is that we're starting to organize our parents. And it's just really amazing because back in the day, they were the ones kind of pulling our ear, like, what are you doing out so late with a cap and gown? Like, right after we got arrested with the caps and gowns on, like, my mom was really afraid of me, like, getting it to go anywhere. And now she's the one that, like, I'm willing to get arrested and I will do anything. And so to me, that's just really exciting to see the transition from losing the fear from the youth to the older generation. And for me, because I saw the impact that we had with Dreamers, I feel like we can definitely have a big impact when the broader community loses the fear. We saw it, we see it when we start organizing to stop deportations. When we teach a family to stop their own deportation, it's just amazing the way that they change. They are like, wow, we're powerful. We're like, yes, you are. And we just keep on spreading that. And so, I think that from the movement perspective, that's just really amazing. And again, from the legislative perspective, it's really hard to know what's happening right now because there's so many things happening that we're all still trying to figure out what's the best way that we as, we have sort of, I always call it, we have a moral power. We might not have the money, we might not have, whatever power in politics, but we have a moral power. So we're trying to figure out what's the best way for us to use that at this moment. The fact that we've been sort of organizing for this for like five, so years now, it kind of just became like a craft. We kind of started on the very first case as of a Dreamer we had in like in 2006. I don't know, it was back even before I was involved. But we figured out that whenever there is really, really like tons of attention on a case, public attention, the administration kind of shies away from the case. We kind of saw that happening over and over again. And so we decided, okay, how can we show them that people are paying attention? Well, one, if you put media on the case, of course, if you start asking people to make calls to ICE, and if you start getting petitions, right? Because there is something called discretion, prosecutorial discretion, there you go. They have the discretion to let somebody go. And so if they feel like it's a person that, you know, that should be here, that's not going to pose a threat and so on and so forth, they can be here. And so we're basically just saying, look, this person is really awesome. They have tons of the community that's backing them up. They should stay here. You need to give them a chance. But of course, they're not going to do that without the pressure of the community. And so we were able to sort of work out the system, and now we kind of mastered it. We've been able to stop tons of deportations. And of course, you know, it's not like we stop every single one of them. We try, but it's been a pretty, pretty good record.
I have two questions. The first one is how we as normal citizens or residents can help the movement. And second, how you or us can spread this message, maybe the video, in the community. Because I work with the community, and you can be sure that they don't know it.
Well, I think that, I mean, one of the reasons for the video, and just like a little background on the video, this was actually the idea of, you know, Steve Jobs, he passed away, but Steve Jobs' wife, the widow, is really passionate about the Dream Act, really passionate. And so she decided she wanted to help somehow, so she decided to make this video. She got together with David Guggenheim, I don't know how to pronounce his last name very well, and they created this video for the purpose of, you know, distribution and across the country. So they decided not to, like, have a fee. They decided to put it all over the internet. So if you want to host a watch party maybe in your name, in your family, if you're just like, hey, let's go watch Netflix, it's on Netflix. So you can just, you know, turn on the TV. And so that's one way to do it, definitely. And I would say another way is figuring out who's your member of Congress. And as citizens, of course, you have all the right as a voter and as a citizen to go and talk to your representative and tell them, especially if it's someone who is not necessarily there yet, that they need to get there. They need to get there, and they also need to take leadership, and they need to make sure they figure out a way to work across the aisle to get this done, because it's not going to pass with just one party. That's just the reality of it. But yeah, definitely go lobby and do a lot of protesting if you can.
And I'd also like to point out that when you speak to somebody and you're not getting the receptivity that you might want based on your moral argument or your justice argument, I think it's important to also point out that, for example, in the domestic violence arena, our communities are less safe when it's a place where predators can prey freely by saying, I'll have you deported. And so the violence is not reported. The crime is not reported. And the violence continues. The crime continues. The children are damaged. Forget about the victim. Forget about the victim. There are American citizens who are being harmed because those children are American citizens. They were born here. And that's not my position. I'm saying this is the argument for the people who won't listen to the right argument. American citizens are being harmed because you are sheltering violent predators by not making it safe for their victims to report. That's number one. Number two, your pocketbook is being hurt when foster care roles increase because children with good parents are being deprived of those parents for no reason other than the fact that somebody has said that their papers aren't right. There has got to be a better way. When you have people who are not breaking the law and they are contributing to our society and they are working hard and they are trying to raise children, they're sending them to school, they're putting them on the honor roll, they're supporting them, there should be a way for that to be recognized as good, proper, and legal documented parenting.
You've been listening to an event on immigration reform on October 23rd at the Hippodrome Theater, No Dream Deferred, describing the plight of 11 million undocumented men, women, and children living, and in many cases working, in the U.S. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show can be heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free, pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. If you have a legal dispute over something you bought, the contract may say you can't go to court. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 when consumer protection attorney and friend of the show, John Gale, discusses consumer arbitration clauses, how to get around them, and what to do if you can't, in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on May 16, 2012. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegner.